Peter admitted. But then I thought, well, it's not up to me. But I... Tepic stopped. What could he do? Go and explain? Somehow that didn't seem a terribly good idea. His friend slapped him on the back. Don't worry about it, he said. We've done it! And Chidda held up his thumb, pressed against the first two fingers of his right hand in the ancient salute of the assassins. A thumb pressed against two fingers and the lean figure of Dr. Cruces, head tutor, looming over the startled boys.
We do not murder, he said.
It was a soft voice. The doctor never raised his voice, but he had a way of giving it the pitch and spin that could make it be heard through a hurricane.
We do not execute. We do not massacre. We never, you may be very certain, we never... We have no truck with crimes of passion or hatred or pointless gain. We do not do it for a delight in inhumation, or to feed some secret inner need, or for petty advantage, or for some cause or belief. I tell you, gentlemen, that all these reasons are in the highest degree suspect. Look into the face of a man who will kill you for a belief, and your nostrils will snuff up the scent of abomination. Hear a speech declaring a holy war, and I assure you your ears should catch the clink of evil scales and the dragging of its monstrous tail over the purity of the language. No, we do it for the money, and because we above all must know the value of a human life, we do it for a great deal of money. There can be few cleaner motives so shorn of all pretense. Nil mortifi sine lucra. Remember, no killing without payment. He paused for a moment. And always give a receipt, he added.
So it's all okay, said Chidda. Tepic nodded gloomily. That was what was so likeable about Chidda. He had this enviable ability to avoid thinking seriously about anything he did. A figure approached cautiously through the open gates. The gates of the Assassin's Guild were never shut. This was said to be because death was open for business all the time, but it was really because the hinges had rusted centuries before and no one had got around to doing anything about it. The light from the torch in the porter's lodge glinted off blonde curly hair.
You two made it then?
Said Arthur, nonchalantly flourishing the slip. Arthur had changed quite a lot in 7 years. The continuing failure of the great Orm to wreak organic revenge for lack of piety had cured him of his tendency to run everywhere with his coat over his head. His small size gave him a natural advantage in those areas of the craft involving narrow spaces. His innate aptitude for channeled violence had been revealed on the day when Flymo and some cronies had decided it would be fun to toss the new boys in a blanket and picked Arthur first. 10 seconds later, it had taken the combined efforts of every boy in the dormitory to hold Arthur back and prize the remains of the chair from his fingers. It had transpired that he was the son of the late Johann Ludorum, one of the greatest assassins in the history of the guild. Sons of dead assassins always got a free scholarship. Yes, it could be a caring profession at times. There hadn't been any doubt about Arthur passing. He'd been given extra tuition and was allowed to use really complicated poisons. He was probably going to stay on for postgraduate work. They waited until the gongs of the city struck 2. Clockwork was not a precise technology in Ankh-Morpork, and many of the city's various communities had their own ideas of what constituted an hour in any case, so the chimes went on bouncing around the rooftops for 5 minutes. When it was obvious that the city's consensus was in favour of it being well past 2, the three of them stopped looking silently at their shoes.
"Well, that's it," said Chidda. "Poor old Cheeseright," said Arthur. "It's tragic when you think about it."
"Yes, he owed me 4p," agreed Chidda. "Come on, I've arranged something for us."
King Tepikaimon the 27th got out of bed and clapped his hands over his ears to shut out the roar of the sea. It was strong tonight. It was always louder when he was feeling out of sorts. He needed something to distract himself. He could send for Petrachi, his favourite handmaiden. She was special. Her singing always cheered him up. Life seemed so much brighter when she stopped. Or there was the sunrise. That was always comforting. It was pleasant to sit wrapped in a blanket on the topmost roof of the palace, watching them miss.